Hi, how are you? Victor Perlnik here from Trust Shoring, coming to you today from Chicago for SaaS Academy, actually. And I wanted to talk about one thing today, which is, well, what are software houses not good at? We love software houses. We work a lot with software houses. We've been matching a lot of people to software houses, and we've seen very successful relationships. And we're trying to be completely objective here and really advise everybody individually on should you or should you not work with a software house. There's a lot of cases where working with a software house is just better than building your own team, either if you just want a team for a limited amount of time, 3 months, 6 months, build an MVP, things like that, or if you don't have any internal tech or product leadership and you just don't want to build that, you don't want to take care of that, you don't want to be in the day-to-day of that. We have a lot of founders who just don't want to build that middle management in that case or care about it and just have a turnkey software development team. And software houses are really, really, really good at that. Now, the flip side of it, what are software houses not good at? So I always keep saying that they're good if you don't have in-house tech and product leadership or you don't want to be in the day-to-day, right? So what does that actually mean? It means that you might not have a CTO, you might not have an experienced product or project manager, or someone who just understands how to lead, how to effectively lead a development team, bring in the right structures. How do we do Scrum? How do we prioritize? How do we then develop? How do we keep people accountable? What technology do we use here? How do we do code reviews? All of these things. A good software house is really good at that, and you can add more skill sets to that, right? UI, UX, all of it. That's completely fine. But there are things that the software house won't solve for you. And number one, which seems kind of obvious, but not always is, especially when people are trying to build MVPs, is the software house is not going to help you understand what the right product is to build. Now, they all claim they can do that, but reality is they can't. They really can't. They can go in, and depending how good they are, right, they're more or less order takers, right? There are those that just build whatever you tell them. There are some who try to push back. You know, you're trying to do this, you're trying to do that. Maybe we can simplify it. Maybe can we reach the same goal a simpler way, especially when it comes to implementation, right? They figure whatever you want to build is complex, but there would be an easier way to achieve the same thing. And that is already very helpful. I feel like that is already a very good software house if yours does that. But they still don't know what your customers actually want. And they still don't know what it is that you should be building to create a successful product, right? There are so many discoveries out there, but discoveries usually just mean we'll try to understand what it is you think your clients want, and then we'll just quote that or build that, right? So that's part one. And so you see that everywhere. You see that all at all stages of your business, but most profoundly, you see that within MVP development. There's something that goes against the entire business model of a software house. And so software houses, we've already discussed that in a video that I'll link here about giving equity to software houses, is that they actually don't make a lot of money on the development. I mean, they do, but only if you get a lot of it. The margin on each developer hour is very small. Like, developers are very well paid, and the software house only makes money if it does a very big long-term project for you, period. Ideally, if at least half of the people are mid-level and not too senior. And so the good software houses will keep a healthy ratio here, and the rather greedy software houses will try to pass off as many juniors as they can, right? Because then you get a lot of hours built. Even though it seems cheaper, the margin is much bigger here. Okay, so that's the first thing to sort of understand. And then if you take that, what's your goal as someone, no matter the stage, but again, mostly within MVP development? What is an MVP, right? That's where you really see it. An MVP is a minimum viable product, the smallest possible project that has tangible outcomes. And so apart from the fact that only you know what that is going to be. The other thing is that in order to then figure out, you know, even if you have, let's say you have your customer persona, you have, you know, exactly what the problems are, what the solution should be, what the flows, what the, you know, you come prepared, knowing what it is that your customers need. In order to turn that into a minimum viable product, you need a collaboration of the smartest possible people within that software house, right? Because minimal is not only across, let's say, the UI UX design, but also across the technical domain, right? So you need to know what's the minimal product that is also easiest to build, because minimal doesn't only refer to smallest in terms of user experience, which also should be true, of course. You don't want a bloated product in scope, but also in terms of, well, now pair that with a technical implementation, which is obviously the biggest advantage of technical founders, especially people with a bit product UI UX background, is they can really iterate that in their head without external people. What is the minimum viable product? That is really valid at any stage you are making those decisions, even though, you know, it's most prominent within the MVP. And so you need the smartest people of a software house, and those smartest people, their goal is supposed to be to define the smallest project for the software house possible. So essentially, you're asking a software house to give you the people they make least money on, but are the most precious within the company, to then come up with the worst possible project for the software house, which is the smallest project with the best people that they possibly have moving further, right? Because you want seniors. And so that's a dilemma, and I wouldn't say that the software houses do that deliberately, right? It's not that somebody says, oh, I don't want to help this guy get the best product, this guy or girl, right? I don't want to do that. I don't make money on that. Maybe some think that, but it's about that underlying business model, about the math, that really the resources are limited. Again, we're talking about the best people. The resources to give you are limited, and so chances are you're just not going to end up with those people, and they're going to create a much larger project for you. Not that anybody said, let's not do a good job and let's inflate this project. No, not necessarily, really not. It's just about you're probably not going to get the best people for a couple of hours, and because of that, your project's going to be bloated, and, well, you're just building more and longer, and that you can have throughout the entire phase. Now again, if you know what you need to build and you know what your customers want and you kind of know what the minimal solution here for that is, and that becomes easier moving forward because it's not a holistic decision on the entire product anymore. It's really just about ongoing features. And only every now and then you have that major challenge, so it gets better from there. But at the beginning, especially if you're building an MVP, this is what's really tough, and I've seen a lot of people struggle with this, and there's just a natural conflict of interest between a software house and you as the founder. That just works against you, no matter the intentions of the software house. So how can you get around that? Well, first of all, you can try to freelance hire those very good people. Who could that be? Could be a technical UI UX designer. You can work with entrepreneurs who have done this before, get some coaching, get some mentorship, ask various people with that sort of background to help you identify, you know, just brainstorm. This is not about documentation. Now you can easily leave to a software. They're great at that. But brainstorming to come up with the right concepts and the minimum viable product with the rough concept, that is something you can do really well. And then you can definitely work with a software house to then document, estimate, implement all of that. That is more than possible. But combining the client knowledge, business knowledge, tech knowledge, UI UX, that is often something outside of a software house, if that makes sense. All right, if you have any questions around that, do let me know. Post a comment under this video, reach out for a call. The link will be in the description. If you need a software house, or if you need to decide whether to work with a software house, if you need developers, need to build a team, need somebody recruited or headhunted, or if you need to talk to a fractional CTO and CPO for advice on what to build, well, then we have all those people ready for you. Again, book a call, go to our website. Everything's in the description of this video. We've been helping founders launch and scale software products for the past 10 years, And I am always here for you. Thank you so much. Feel free to subscribe if you like these videos. We do a lot on these topics. Thank you so much. Have a great one. Bye-bye.